Welcome to Section 9. My name's Damien Hull, and I'm here with Dorothy.
Hello, and we're back again this week to share our experiences with you. This particular week, we've had a very trying week, and we're going to share with you the usual frustration that comes with trying to do something and it's not working out and the way that you think it should or the way that it's supposed to and our struggles with it. So Damien's going to talk a little bit about his test. He's getting ready to take it on the 15th. So do you want to talk about a little bit about that?
Yeah. So first of all, we're going to be talking about my GCIH test. And then we're also going to be talking about our OpenVPN failures with our pfSense firewall project. So on my GCIH test, you're given two practice tests, and you need it 75% to pass, and it's an open book test. So when I go to actually take it, I take all my books with me, all my notes with me, all my cheat sheets with me, and hopefully that's enough to help me pass the actual test itself. So on the first practice test, I got a 77%. On the second one, I only got 70%. So I have some work to do. But the nice thing about the practice test is they give you a little summary, and all the topics are on that summary. And then it tells you how well you did in each one. So one of the things that I have to figure out is how to get the programming side of things understood or figure out how that's supposed to work for the test so that I can pass. Because that's the area that I'm kind of missing. Now, it's not just a programming test or a programming topic that they're talking about. There are several things that kind of fall under the sort of programming topic that that's the way I kind of think of it. So there's like web application attacks. There's buffer overflows that they talk about. And these are things that I don't fully understand. I'm not a programmer. So it's a topic that requires me to do a lot more studying in order to understand enough to be able to pass the test. So that's kind of where I'm at now. And so for me, what I need to do is go back to the web applications and the buffer overflows and do some more reading so I can understand what's going on there and then take better notes, maybe do some flashcards, listen to the audio, and hopefully I will be able to get enough out of all of that to be able to pass when I take the test. I'm taking it actually on the 15th. So it's kind of right around the corner. I still have a week and maybe, Saturday, Sunday, and then the following week, I think I'm going to just take a break before I actually take the test itself.
Yeah, and what's really nice is that he gets a printout of the topics after he takes the practice test, and it's graded on a start-studied method, like 1 star is low, 5 stars is great. So he's able to look at what topics he's weakest at, and he'll be able to go in and focus on that for the next week and see if that can give him the cushion that he needs to pass the test. So, you know, it's kind of nice. I mean, it's a lot of work. Those tests just look really hard. And some of those questions are outrageous, but okay.
So let's go on to our OpenVPN issue. Oh, yeah. And so first of all, we have a pfSense firewall and OpenVPN is part of that. So you want to talk give us some background here on how our firewall lab is actually set up before we talk about OpenVPN.
Right. So when we did the logic diagram for this, my little lab is behind the firewall, behind our Meraki firewall. So it's that little safety zone that we were talking about.
Right. So hold on a second here. So we have our Meraki firewall.
Right.
And then somewhere down the line, we have your Cisco router. And then behind that, your pfSense firewall.
Right.
So you're kind of separated out into your own little lab itself.
Right.
So that if there's a mistake that's made, none of that is going to affect the rest of our network.
Right. And one of the things that I had to realize Damien knew about this, is that I couldn't really go through the Meraki because my firewall was behind my router. So in order for my laptop actually to get to the firewall, I had to, you know, go through the router, in the WAN side of it, right?
So let's back up here some. And this is a learning process for you because you're trying to figure out, okay, how do I explain things to people so people understand what's really going on?
Right.
And sometimes, you know, and we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit more advanced. I have experience. And so one of the issues we kind of have is that I'm jumping all over the place because they understand what's going on, and you're trying to play catch up because I'm doing too fast and we're not on the same page.
Well, and the thing is, see, I did my research and I'm one of those people that I have to have a process. Step one, two, three, and four. Damien is like, okay, I know we got to have this. I know we have to have this. I know. Go over here, configure this. Go over here, configure that. And I'm like, you know, I was playing catch up in my head. You know, I did understand some of the configurations, you know, is my first VPN experience that I'm having in the respect that I'm trying to do this. But some things weren't really clear to me.
So let's start from the beginning here. So we have our firewall, which is pfSense.
Right.
You have a LAN side, and then you have the WAN side.
Right.
So when we talk about the firewall, it allows people on the LAN side to go to the internet using network address translation.
Right.
And then its primary function on the network is to make sure that people on the internet side don't have access to whatever you have on the LAN side.
Right.
So you're filtering out that traffic so that people can't just come into your network and access whatever they want, because those are unauthorized users.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the primary function of a firewall. Now, your VPN is there to allow either another site to have access to your internal LAN, or to allow remote users, somebody with a laptop at a coffee shop or from home, to be able to access resources on the company network. That's the whole point of that. And then you're going to do that securely because the VPN has encryption.
Right.
So our problem that we had when we first set this up is, one, how do we set up OpenVPN? So we went to the wizard.
We did the server part of it. You know, we downloaded the, you know, what we needed. There were some exporting packages for the client. We did that as well. We configured the encryption. We created a certificate.
Right.
You know, so we thought we had this totally under control. Then Damien went into, you know, his laptop
and the
Windows side of it to do the client thing. We exported the configuration from the server into, or the client part of it, into his Windows thing. And then do you want to tell them what happened when we try to connect?
Right. So you know, what Dorothy's saying is we've got we think we have the server piece configured properly. And then, you know, when you set up a VPN connection, you have to have an authentication piece.
Right.
So we went ahead and added a user to the firewall. And then we went ahead and tried to figure out, okay, we have our server configured, we have our user in there. What else do we need in order to make this function properly? So one of the things we sat down and talked about was, okay, how is my laptop going to access OpenVPN on the pfSense firewall?
Right.
So we had to connect my laptop to that safe zone of the network where her firewall is located.
Right, because when we pinged, it didn't see it. And
so,
then Damien was trying to get me to understand, okay, why isn't this being seen? And then I realized, oh, it's my little baby network environment that I have in here, my cozy inside part of the network. So it's not going to go through the Meraki. It's not going to see, you know, his laptop. And so the solution was, let's give the laptop a static IP address on the proper network, so we can actually see it. And we did that, and we could see it, and we can ping it. We still had internet access, and we still...
Well, so because you have a firewall in place, we actually were not able to ping. So the whole point of this particular situation that we have here is that my laptop has to be able to access the WAN side of the pfSense firewall.
Right.
Because we're going to use that VPN connection through OpenVPN to connect to the inside or the LAN side of that firewall, of that network.
On the other side of the pfSense.
Other side of the pfSense firewall. Mm-hmm. So I have to be able to see the WAN side. But when we ping it, I don't get any responses back. And we don't get a response back because, again, this is a firewall. And in this particular situation, by default, pfSense does not allow ICMP packets on the WAN side of the firewall. So I get no response back, which is fine. I'm saying, okay, that's fine. It's okay. But I can reach the outside network. I can go to Google. So I'm on the proper network. I have network activity through the Cisco router that we have for our safe zone. I'm able to go through that and get to Google and other, you know, the internet side of things. So all of that's good. And then we did do a quick NMAP scan.
Right. But then Nmap, like we said on a different show, will only scan for the first 1,000 TCP well-known ports.
Right.
So we're using UDP, so it really didn't help.
It didn't. We have to go back and do it again because I specified the correct port number for our OpenVPN.
One thing that it did show is that the port was open.
It was open, but by default, it does a TCP scan.
Right.
So we need to go back and specify that we want a specific port number using UDP to make sure that UDP goes through. So we should talk about some of the things here. And you're learning about this, so you're not entirely sure what happened. So we should say that on my laptop, we have the client set up. We exported the configuration, got all that in there. And then when we tried to connect to the OpenVPN configuration or setup, it didn't work. And so what we saw on the screen with the OpenVPN client was that it had the right IP address and port number, and it looked like it was trying to do a connection. Hmm. And then there was nothing after that. It did ask for a username and password.
And it took it. And then on the side of the server, it showed that it was running. But the client part of it, in the little window where it shows everything that's going on,
it didn't have anything in there.
It had parts of it, but not all of it. It didn't go to the part where it said you're connected.
Right. So when we look at this, and this is something that we have to take into consideration because there's a lot of moving parts to this particular project. So we have the server configuration. We have the client configuration. We have to make sure our laptop, for testing purposes, this is the remote laptop, is in the right location. So we know that piece is there. Then we have the firewall configuration. Is the port open? Is it allowing traffic to go to that OpenVPN server on the pfSense firewall? Is our user set up properly? Do we have the appropriate access to that VPN server? You know, are we allowed to use that?
And
is the authentication working?
Do we need to change the rules on the firewall to be able to allow
right. There's
for that?
So many different things that so many moving parts to this particular project that when the window comes up and on the client side and we're trying to authenticate and gain access to that VPN connection, it really didn't tell us anything. Two things showed up in the window, and then it says there's an error, and then it tries to reconnect again.
And that's the hard part. It's like when you have an error that tells you kind of or gives you some kind of clue of what the error is one thing. I don't have the experience to begin to understand where to begin to look for things. You know, because I don't quite understand why it's not connecting. You know, it's all fuzzy for me. So, my first instinct was starting over and doing the whole reconfiguration to see if I miss anything. You know, Damien's advice was, ask questions, join the pfSense group, see what happens. As a new person, I'm not real comfortable with that because, I don't really know what to ask. What do I say? I can say, well, okay, so this is the kind of firewall that I have. This is the version. This is what I did. But there's going to be a lot of things that, like I said, when we ended up configuring the server, Damien was all over the place because he knew we need to have a client. He knew that he needed to export things. And, I don't really understand why he's exporting something from the server into the client part of it. Is it part of the server that he's exporting? Is it part of the client? I don't know, So for me, I'm going to have to try to make some sense out of that before I can feel I can ask a well-educated question to where I can get an answer and even begin to understand how to fix it.
Right. So
I know
so,
you have a different thought, so why don't you share?
So
what
yeah.
You would
so do? So in my particular situation, I would ask for help because I have some experience with this stuff, and I know that again, there's so many moving parts to this. I don't know if our authentication is working. I don't know if traffic is making it to the OpenVPN server portion of all of this. I don't know if the client configuration is correct. Maybe the client software is the wrong version for what we have on our pfSense firewall. I don't know if our certificates are correct. The server may not be configured properly. So there's so many moving parts to all of this.
But it's such a terrifying part of IT. When you're sitting in there, if I had a job and I had to come up with a solution for this on the job, I'd be sitting there going, oh my God, I'm going to lose my job. I don't even know where to begin.
That's where asking for help comes into play. You may have to find somebody who knows how to work with this stuff and help you, point you in the right direction. And for the most part, especially when you ask like on Facebook or on a mailing list or, remote questions like that where people can't see what it is you're doing, that might be a situation where you kind of have to realize that they're not going to be able to give you a total answer. Maybe sometimes they will be able to give you a solution that works, but in a lot of cases, they're only going to be able to point you in the right direction.
Well, one of the things that I liked, you know, because I was very frustrated with the whole process, and I didn't feel I could ask a question, and I still have hesitation about those kind of things, because I definitely don't want to waste anybody's time, in a group where they're genuinely trying to do something. But at the same time, I want to learn. And one of the things that I liked that you suggested was, you know, give them the version of what you have, you know, what you're trying to do, the few things that you have done, you know, like I configured the server using this set of instructions. Does anybody have a better or easier understanding set of instructions? Am I using the wrong kind of thing? That is very helpful. But again, that will work for someone like yourself, that you understand what you're saying. Somebody can come and turn around and say, blah, 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 and you need to configure this, that, and the other, and it may be a part of the VPN that I have no idea what the, you know, what it is. So understand that as a new person trying to break into IT and try to make sense of how things work, it's pretty scary. You know, you don't want to be the one that asks a stupid question that somebody goes, you know, and says, really? And then all of a sudden you're not comfortable asking questions, you know, and I've experienced that, you know, so it's a scary part for me. It's something that I'm not really willing to jump into it just like I used to before. It's like, oh, you know, I'm so excited. There are groups and I can ask this, that, and the other. And, you know, the IRC group that I joined, you know, I would sit in there at lunchtime and listen or read about what people were talking about just to try to figure out and make sense of what they were talking about. And, you know, so someday I could ask a question about something and they wouldn't all go, really? What are you doing here? You know, so I don't know.
Yeah, so asking for help is something that eventually you're going to have to do it. You just, part of IT, yeah. You know, you're going to get into a situation where you don't understand why something doesn't work. Maybe you're working for somebody, there's a deadline, you got to get it done. The only way to get this thing moving forward is to ask somebody for help. So that's one thing that you may have to do. Another thing that we can do too is we can search for, like you said, better set of instructions. One of the issues I ran into in trying to find out how to set this up on PFSense is that when I looked for videos on YouTube about how to do this, most of them were old.
Yeah.
So when you watch the video, it doesn't match what we have for the configuration. Their wizard's a little bit different. Their setup's a little bit different. It may help us try to figure out what's going on, but I'd like to see updated videos on how to do this with our version of PFSense.
Right. And then, you know, for us that are trying to learn using open source things that we don't have to pay for it because you can go broke just trying to do some of these things. You know, one of the things that we had, the instructions that we had to set it up and to configure it, we're using Viscosity for this kind of thing. And then, you know, we had to pay for that if we really wanted to use it.
Right. Viscosity is one of those VPN clients that you need for OpenVPN. There's a free one that you can get, which is part of the OpenVPN package.
Right.
So there's the OpenVPN client that you can use. And then there was Viscosity, which apparently you have to pay for.
Right.
So we're using the OpenVPN client.
Right.
And that's that. Whatever we're doing is not right. So again, we can search for better instructions. That's one thing we can do.
Yeah.
We can, what's the other thing? Let's see. Oh, DigitalOcean had something on OpenVPN configurations. And that was a way for you to do something about, you know, using a VPN to connect to your cloud servers.
You know, I really like, you know, when we did our servers for with DigitalOcean, I really liked the instructions they had. They were clear. They were concise. They explained to you why they did certain things. So that's something that I really, I like what they put out. I like that it seems like they have tested it and they tell you, oh, this will not work if you do this or this will not work if you do that. I really like DigitalOcean and the instructions they
put out. So you may want to take a look at their instructions.
Yeah.
And you also may want to go to the OpenVPN website and follow some of their instructions.
Man.
Now, it's not the same thing as doing an OpenVPN server or setup on PFSense because it's going to be a little bit different. But if you can get an OpenVPN server all by itself functioning, that may help you figure out, okay, where did we go wrong on our PFSense firewall and OpenVPN configuration?
Right.
And the other thing that I thought was kind of interesting in some of the things you talked about, and what's kind of sad in this particular situation, is that after doing all of this work and maybe getting this thing to work at some point, because that's what we want to be able to do,
right. You
were talking about OpenVPN versus something like IPsec and how IPsec is all over the place.
Yeah, and I have to wonder why, you know, is it one of those things that is limited, that it was saying maybe one of our devices doesn't have what we need that supports that OpenVPN, you know, or it could be like, you know, the encryption, so, you know, that is not the
well,
same.
Well, what I'm trying to get at.
So I don't know.
Well, so what I'm trying to get at is, yeah. is, you know, when you're trying to evaluate these different technologies, you pointed out that it seemed to be that IPsec was all over the place.
It was all over the place.
So why would we have OpenVPN? So
well,
you may be in a situation where you say, okay, we got OpenVPN working after weeks of trying this thing now, but I don't like it. We're not going to use it. We're going to get rid of it.
I think maybe for me, it would have been a little bit easier to just done OpenVPN by itself without the pfSense. Because I think, you know, not understanding OpenVPN and then trying to do it through pfSense because it's one of the available features, you know, it may not have been the best idea for me. I don't know.
I don't know either because I've never worked with OpenVPN. Mm-hmm. And that's why for me in this particular case, I need to ask somebody for help. But one thing you may want to take a look at, again, we may want to look at the DigitalOcean instructions. We may want to look at the OpenVPN instructions on their website. And then even if you have to set up a virtual machine on DigitalOcean and follow their instructions, that might be something you need to do in order to figure out, okay, how does this work?
Well,
and what did we do wrong?
One of the things, and again, this is, of course, me not really understanding OpenVPN like I'm supposed to, but isn't one of the protocols that uses is PPTP?
It's a little different.
Okay.
It's a little different. OpenVPN is its own thing.
Right.
So, and when I went to go look it up, because I didn't actually fully understand how OpenVPN works, but just to remind people, if you've never used it, OpenVPN is actually it's an SSL VPN. So this is similar to what you're going to see when you connect to Amazon or maybe your bank and you get that lock icon in there.
Okay.
That's the kind of connection you're going to have with OpenVPN. It's using some of the same technologies to be able to set up a VPN connection. So it's a little different than some of the things that you've been looking at for something like Windows
thing. With my experience, I was sitting in there thinking, okay, pfSense removed that protocol out of there. Would it have anything to do with the protocol? I didn't know. I still don't know.
Right, right. And that's where we come back to this particular situation where there's so many moving parts. It's really hard to tell. And what you're saying about pfSense and OpenVPN and maybe having them together is not the right way to do it.
I think we need to pull it out and do it separate. I think for me, if I would have done OpenVPN by itself without throwing pfSense into the mix and then tried to do OpenVPN feature through pfSense, it may have been a little bit easier. And maybe I would have an easier time trying to troubleshoot what's going on. But I don't know.
So that's where something like DigitalOcean and setting up a virtual machine in the cloud and following their instructions might be beneficial. Mm-hmm. And we might be able to get something out of that. We have to take a look at their documentation. I know they have that because I've seen it. So we may be able to use some of that knowledge to be able to figure out, okay, we're going to try it here. We're going to try to make it work. And if it works there, then we can say, okay, how do we make it work on our pfSense firewall, and you know, maybe, you know, we can find out where that whole process broke and fix that.
Right. And, you know, this is why we're doing this project, because we want to learn, you know, even if we fall flat on our faces, even if, you know, I have my limited understanding versus Damien's more advanced understanding of things, you know, at the end of the day, we all learn different and we all have to go through this, you know, struggles. You know, you set out to thinking, and that's what I did. I was like, okay, if I just configure it the way the instructions say, if I just do this, if I just do that, it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't. And that's something about IT that's really frustrating, because I've been doing this for years, and I can tell you from my own personal experience, Anytime I try to follow somebody else's set of instructions, there's usually something missing because there's so many moving parts in any IT project, whether that's a Windows server, a Linux server, a firewall solution like pfSense and OpenVPN, that something always gets left out. Sometimes it's a minor thing and you can work around it because you can say, okay, they missed this over here. I need to punch this in here. And then, hey, it's working.
Well, one of the things that Damien shared with me that I find it really useful is whenever I have done basic projects in the past, before we even started the podcast, and he was showing me how to document things, he kept saying to me, when you need to do it more than once, you need to revisit the project at least two or three times, or even maybe more if it doesn't make any sense, and continue to tweak your instructions, your documentation, because you are going to miss a certain part of it. And then when you're trying to redo it the second time around, you're going, wait a minute, I'm missing something. And then you can add that part into your documentation and just kind of get it, you know, improve upon it. The more you do the project, the more you understand certain things, and the better and more comfortable that you are with it. Because at the end of the day, you know, you're about as good as your documentation. He tells me all the time, you walk into a network, there's no documentation, and you're in a world of trouble trying to figure out where is everything, what kind of IP addresses is everything, how is everything connected, how is the, you know, like the time that you were telling me about that DHCP, the extra DHCP server that you had,
right.
And the problems you guys were having, and nobody knew about this DHCP server. So, you know, IT is tough. So give yourself a break if you're just struggling like we are. You know, you're going to have weeks where everything is just like super excited. You do a project, it works just like you want it to work, you know, and you're happy and you feel accomplished. And then you're going to have something that, you know, the reason why Damien gave me this firewall project, because he says, if I can figure it out, if I can get the firewall pieces, you know, work together in my mind, I will understand networking because it deals with pretty much every device on the network. And you have to, you know, kind of work through the quirks. You know, that we looked at it and thought pfSense was a great idea to start with. Well, you know, maybe it isn't. We gave it a shot. It's not working now. We can revisit it. We can do just OpenVPN by itself and then go back. You know, we can look at the DigitalOcean and then go back and say, hey, how does this compare? So, you know, there's more than one road to a certain device. It's just that, you know, I guess we'll just have to hash it out.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, what we're trying to do now is, here we have a couple of failures with my GCIH test and then with our OpenVPN. And so we need to figure out how do we get around these failures? How do we figure out how to make it, you know, going forward? So with my test, I'm trying to go back to the books, read some more, figure out what they're talking about, maybe do some flashcards, get my notes organized, so I can actually pass the test. And then with our IT projects, like with OpenVPN, we may have to ask for help. We're going to look for better instructions. We're going to try to do it separate from pfSense. So there's a lot of things that you can do in IT that may help you move forward, but it's sometimes difficult to see how you're going to do that when something like this fails,
right?
Especially with a project that has a lot of moving parts. You need to be able to take a step back and say, okay, let's look for new documentation. Maybe we have to pull this out of the firewall, do a separate box. I think we really should take a look at the DigitalOcean instructions and
see how does
that work and how did they make their stuff function?
Yeah, no, I agree. And again, you know, if this can save any of you any time that you don't need to waste on doing, you know, the struggle, then we should do that. You know, we're going to just definitely, you know, approach it from a different viewpoint. Trying the DigitalOcean is a great way to start and see what happens from there. And then maybe at the end, we can revisit this whole thing and see how we can improve on it or even learn to troubleshoot it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm lucky I have, you know, Damien's knowledge to help me along the way to say, no, you know, you think about it this way, or you should try it this other way, this, that, and the other. I cannot imagine just being a new person trying to get into IT and trying to figure, you know, this out on my own. So it's a tough road. And I really admire the people that are able to self-teach themselves, you know, just like you did, Damien, when you were, you know, breaking your head, trying to spend months on it, trying to figure something out. And, you know, I'm appreciative of the fact that you're sharing the knowledge with me. And, you know, and this podcast is a way for me to give back on what he's doing for me, as well as him wanting to share his experience with every single one of you. So thank you for listening. And do you have anything else?
Yeah, I think we should talk about your final project, because you're going to be doing that some. Because I think when we get into situations like this, you may want to take a break and you may want to do something different just to clear your mind from this frustration of something not working. So, you know, we have a simple networking project that you're going to be working on. It's kind of like your level one exam, and then we're going to do an advanced one. So your test, which we will cover probably in the next episode, it's going to be just a simple network where you have your firewall, in this case, pfSense. We're going to still use that. So it's still a useful project. And then we have your server 2016 domain environment,
right,
your Windows 10 clients that you're going to join to the domain. And then you're going to have to figure out which devices are going to have what services. How are you going to hand out IP addresses? What network address are you going to use?
Right.
How are you going to incorporate some of the things that are on your NetPlus test? And that's the whole purpose of doing things like this, is to get you to think more about the big picture. How do all these things get connected together? And then how do we implement them on an actual device, whether that's your server, your workstation, your firewall, a switch? So that's kind of what you're going to be doing in the future. And we'll talk about that when we do our next episode.
Okay. Sounds good.
And then we will be spending a lot of time trying to figure out why our VPN didn't work.
Yep.
So I think that's it. Anything else?
No. That'll be it.
Yep. And thanks for listening. And if you have any comments or questions, please email us at info@section9.us. And then you can also check out our show notes at section9.us as well.
Thanks again. And we'll talk to you next week.